Ramadan started this week. It's an important part of the Muslim faith, a month-long commemoration of the Prophet Muhammad receiving the first verses of the Quran from God, Allah. There is fasting during daylight hours, and for many outside the Muslim faith, that may be as much as you know about it. Our next guest is here to add some context. Hakimo Ansafi is president of the Muslim Association of Hawaii and joining us from our studios in Honolulu this morning. Aloha. Thanks for
Aloha coming. To you. Good morning.
So to begin with, how would you characterize the starting point of the significance of Ramadan?
Ramadan is the ninth month of the lunar calendar, and it is one of the pillars of Islam. There are five pillars. This is the fourth pillar, which basically, as you have eloquently stated, is abstaining from food from sunrise to sunset during the daylight for any adult, healthy adults. Must participate in this, but it goes beyond that. I think the abstention from eating, drinking as well, sexual relations, and also the fasting of the tongue from saying or doing any hurtful things, and the of the feet from walking to things that you're not supposed to. It's more of a spiritual boot camp cleansing for 30 days.
It's a very reflective period as well.
Indeed, I think that is the purpose of it. The Holy Quran says that the month of Ramadan was prescribed to you as it has been prescribed to those before you, so that you may attain God consciousness and self-control. So in effect, it is all about that, to keep God in mind. And by extension, anything that you experience, you reflect on it. For example, you feel hunger, so you must reflect on the poor people, on the hungry people, not just in this island or this country, but worldwide, that they are hungry, not because of observing Ramadan, but because they are not able to do so. It's also a reflection on the sick and those who are unprivileged. So for that 30 days of self attaining purity and consciousness, to increase your morality and to increase your consciousness of others, not just yourself, really results in something beautiful at the end, which is being able to open up and give generously from your wealth to those who are not as lucky as you are, those kind of things. So it is all about self-reflection and attaining that God consciousness and self-control.
And there is that quietness and reflectiveness, as you say, attached to that. And yet it's not, for people outside the faith sometimes in terms of understanding it, there are aspects, it's not somber necessarily, because there's very much a social aspect to this as well, particularly when the sun goes down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's a verse of the Quran that says we have created humanity so that they may know one another. So there is one other aspect that we practice during this month. All Muslims are encouraged to reach out to their neighbors, to their community, Muslims and non-Muslims, and just to practice that aspect of a religion that during the other 11 months, you're extremely busy. You don't have a chance to do it. So it's a happy month. It is not about the hunger. It is not about the thirst. And there is verses in the Quran that specifically says that. It is about the purity and the consciousness that you get out of it, so you can give back, not only to your immediate family, but also to your community in general, your neighbors and parents and everybody else. So it's a happy time, you know, and that is why if you are sick and elderly and the children under the age of puberty and all of that, they are not allowed to fast, because it's not about the hunger or the thirst. It's about the benefits that you get from it. There are certainly health benefits, because during that month you try not to stuff yourself with a lot of impurities that you would otherwise do. But it is, I think, to be able to be a good human being as God has intended you to be, to yourself by being good to yourself through your health and self-consciousness or reflection, to your immediate family by spending what is called iftar at the sunset. You get together with your family and your neighbors and your community and you breakfast together and talk. And then you extend it outside that by making sure that you give that sense of aloha, sense of beauty to others around you.
And there is a universality to a lot of what you're talking about. And you used the word aloha and when you came. I not wanting to offend being outside the faith myself, but it's a salam alaikum, and peace be upon you, is the traditional greeting. And there are a lot of things within the Muslim faith that extend and can be lessons to those even outside the faith.
Yeah, no, I 100%. Islam is, it's not this separate, different religion. I think our commonalities are millions and our differences are couple. And I think the issue that we see sometimes around the world is people are concentrating on the differences and not the commonalities. So, salamu alaikum, as you have said, basically means peace be upon you, and I think we'd love to be greeted by that, and we greet our Muslims and non-Muslims friends. And the response to that is wa alaikum salam, and unto you is the peace. So yes, it's a lot of commonalities.
That that does bring me, though, to not everyone is so welcome. It takes me to the Muslim ban of the Trump administration, so-called. State of Hawaii took part in lawsuit challenging that, and among the evidence cited, there was impact on the community here. That went through the legal process, and the Trump administration was upheld. What's your sense now of where we are with that? What impact are you seeing? Do you anticipate? And how has that gone?
Well, I think the unfriendliness of this administration expands far beyond just the Muslims. Certainly with what we've seen at the borders for non-Muslims immigrants that just trying to come here to do good for their families. And so we've seen a lot of nonsense, a lot of hatred, a lot of division. Islam is completely and totally against that. And that's why we participated in the lawsuit. We do believe that we have to have a very strong borders. We do believe that we have to have great immigration policies and follow the laws and the rules. But when you stop people because of their race, nationality, gender, then we as Muslims, as well as other people of conscience, we have to speak up against it.
You know, I'm struck. You talk about violence as well, and I have to mention the march, the attack on the mosques in New Zealand. I was struck by a Facebook posting that you put up reacting to the response that you got from the community here in Hawaii about that. I just was going to read part of it. Our prophet taught us that those who do not thank people do not thank God. Thank you for all your kind words of support, flowers being there for our community during these difficult times. Comforted and grateful by the overwhelming support and kind wishes, wanted to take a moment to acknowledge how blessed we are to live among such a community as this one. We can only hope that other communities in the United States and abroad can experience the level of aloha found in Hawaii. It brings people together in the face of adversity and makes us stronger as peace-loving community more than ever. Thank you and aloha, Hakim. That sense of being within this community in Hawaii, very much part of your community.
Absolutely. I think we are one, and that came from the heart, what's been written there. We meant every word of it. The sense of aloha and peace and love that we have received as a result of the tragedy in New Zealand was very much appreciated. And we were hoping that our administration in Washington would have at least been inspired by the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who showed how to handle situations like that. But we are very, very grateful. We are part of this community, will always be. And to see that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood, it's always heartwarming.
Hakim, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And Ramadan Mubarak.
And same to you. Thank you.
Hakim Owansafi is president of the Muslim Association of Hawaii.